I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Some years ago, I was at the lake with some friends of mine. It was one of those perfect summer days where it wasn't too hot, but it was just hot enough to make the water cool and refreshing. When, you know, one of those really good lake days. Now, this lake house that we were hanging out at belonged to the parents of one of my friends. And she had older siblings who had young kids. So down in the basement where we were hanging out, there were plenty of little kids' toys. The basement had a sliding glass door that opened up to the outside just a few yards, right before you could see a grassy hill that led straight down to the lake. It was a pretty steep hill, and you had to be very cautious where you were stepping as you were traveling down to the lake. You didn't want to trip over any rocks that were sticking out of the ground, or you wanted to avoid the giant bushes that were in the middle of the hill at about halfway down. We were sitting in the basement when two of the other guys who were there with us, both of whom are two of my closest friends to this day, started talking all about the toys that were in the basement. We took turns pointing out the various playhouses and action figures and all the other little toys and how much we loved them when we were little. And then our attention shifted to the corner of the room where there was a red radio flyer wagon that held some stuffed animals. One of the guys said, "Oh, I had one of those growing up. Did y'all ever go down hills in those things? When I was little, we used to pick the biggest, steepest hill and ride." There was a long pause. And at the same time, we all knew what the other was thinking. We all looked at the wagon and then looked outside the sliding glass door at the hill and then back at the wagon. Then back at the hill and back at the wagon, and just as someone was starting to give words of protest, two of us already had the wagon and were heading outdoors toward what we'll call the launch point. Very reluctantly, all of us followed the wagon bearers outside to the launch point at the top of the hill, and all there was to do was to see who would go first. I would like to state for the record that I did not go first. One of my other friends volunteered to do the test run, and he sat down in the little red wagon. He pulled the long rod with the handle at the end of it that's meant to be the part that you pull the wagon from. But in case you didn't know, if you pull the handle back and hold on to it, when you're inside the wagon, you can kinda steer the wagon. In all reality, though, there is no steering that thing at all. It's just really pointing yourself in the right direction and hope for the best. And there's no stopping you once gravity takes a hold. Well, to make a long story a little bit shorter, the test run went smoothly. My buddy maneuvered himself around the big bush and between the rocks just fine. And he pulled the wagon back up, and then the next person went down just fine. The next person and the next person went with zero difficulties. So then we did the next logical thing that we thought we could do, and that was to start putting two people in the wagon at the same time. Because if one is good, two is better, right? Right. So since there are two people in the wagon, I thought, oh, that means it'll go slower and it'll be safer, right? Wrong. So I thought this was my shot to ride in the wagon, so I sit in the back of the wagon, and one of my friends is in the front of the wagon, and we're at the launch point. We're staring down the hill, and I remember very clearly, I said to my friend who was steering, because he was in front, "Make sure you avoid the bushes." And he was very agreeable to that point. And so he was on board, and so with the nose of the wagon pointed down and our breaths held, someone gave the countdown. 3, 2, 1. And before, from the word go, I knew we had too much speed. So I did the only thing that I knew I could do instinctually. I pushed myself out of the wagon, slipped off the back and onto the grass, and I sat up right in time to see my friend and now former co-pilot ride the wagon straight into the bushes. Everyone froze and then rushed down the hill to see how he had fared. And believe it or not, he had fared about as well as you could hope. He had just a few scratches on his arms from the bushes, but he had managed to keep the wagon upright and had stopped safely on the other side of the bushes. After we knew he was okay, all we could do was laugh. And we still laugh about this story to this day. It's a fun memory, especially since no one got hurt. But for some reason, it's the story I kept thinking about when I was praying and thinking about what happens in our experience here today on Palm Sunday and the days that will follow. We stand here in a precarious spot. Just a few minutes ago, we had our own representational act of gathering outside and waving our palms like the crowd did just before Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a colt. We shouted and proclaimed, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They were shouts of joy, shouts of welcome. It was the same for the crowd who threw their coats before Jesus as he rode into the city. They shouted, they cheered, they were joyous because they believed that the one who would save them from the Roman oppressors was here. We stand amongst the faces of the crowd who were hopeful that this was finally the time when they could be free. Jesus was going to save them. But then there's a little bit of whiplash for us here today. Even though we shouted for joy just minutes ago, we are only minutes away from shouting, "Crucify him." We are minutes away from turning our backs on Jesus. We are minutes away from moving from exuberant parade goers to wanting to slip into the shadows unnoticed and watch from afar what is about to happen to Jesus. At that point, we will enter into Holy Week. We will have no choice but to succumb to its gravity. Holy Week pulls us into itself. We go from shouts on Palm Sunday to betrayal on Maundy Thursday, then to the cross on Good Friday. It's a bit like a ride downhill in a radio flyer wagon without much choice on where to steer. We are made to just hold on to the end. However hard we may try, we can't stop what's coming. The part of the Luke reading that we heard earlier that stuck out to me most as I was studying for this morning was the last line, and it speaks of this gravitational pull that we feel today and onward. As the crowd is shouting and carrying on and praising God's name, the scripture says, "Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He said, 'I tell you, if these people were silent, the stones would shout out.'" You can't stop what's coming. Something greater is at work here. Something that can't quite be fully understood or reckoned with is happening before us. What will happen this week will be a scandal. The living word of God and Jesus will be silenced, put to death on a cross. That's what we face this week as we travel through this next week together. But we know that that's not the end of the story. We know what comes on the third day when God's glory in all its fullness is revealed to us on Easter. That's what we have to look forward to during Holy Week. But we can only begin to understand what is revealed to us on Easter because of the shouts of "Crucify him, crucify him." We can only begin to understand the empty tomb because of the cries of agony from the cross. That's why Holy Week is important. That's why the story doesn't go directly from the triumphal entry into Jerusalem straight to the joy of Easter and the empty tomb. We must stand as witness to the entire story. We must feel the gravity and feel the pull of Holy Week. We must allow ourselves to sit in the dis-ease and angst of Holy Week so that we can dance in the joy and hope of Easter. So I hope and pray that you will hear this as an invitation. An invitation to experience the saving grace of God in a way that you may never have experienced it before. Whether we like it or not, our palms will soon be put away and our shouts will be quelled. But soon we will experience life anew. So let us move into Holy Week with open hearts, waiting to take in all that this week will bring. Betrayal, anguish, doubt, but ultimately, salvation. Amen.